Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim Memory of Ram Goldhar, and today we're in Sechus Psachim Daf Lamed Hey. This is going to be an abbreviated shir. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission identifies the five species of grain with which one can fulfill his chiyuv timatz on the first night of Pesach: wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. The Gemara notes that this implies that rice and millet, orez v'dochan, are not valid and seeks a source for this rule. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, and it was also taught in different Bati Midrashim, that the Pasuk states, Losocha olav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it, referring to the Karban Pesach. Shivas yamin tocha olav matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzos with it. Now from the juxtaposition of the Pesukim we learn, Dvarim habayim yedei chimutz, adam yotzi behen yedei chobasa b'matzah. It's only with things that come to leaven when left to rise that a person fulfills the obligation to eat matzah. Yatsu eilo she'ein bayin yedei chimutz el yedei sirchon. Excluded are these types of flowers of orz and dochan, which do not come to leaven but come to spoil. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said that rice is a species of grain and that one is chayav karis for eating it in its leavened form on Pesach. Point number two, Rabbi Bar Chanina said in the name Reish Lakish, Isa shenilusha b'yayin b'shem dvash ein chayavin al chimutz karis. A dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, or honey instead of water, one is not chayav karis for eating it in its leavened form. Rav Papa said that the reason one is not chayav karis is learned from the juxtaposition of chametz and matzah in the psukim. Since a person would not fulfill his obligation to eat matzah with it, even if it were baked in its unleavened form, the havelei matzah ashir, because the product would be rich matzah. One's not liable to chorus on account of eating it in its leavened form either. Rashi explains that the Torah calls matzah lechem oni, a poor man's bread. Therefore, matzah must be made from simple ingredients such as flour and water. Rav Papa's principle was refuted, and Rav Idi Bar Avin explained that Reish Lakish's reason was mishum da havelei meperos, and meperos ein machmitzin. It's because these liquids are fruit juices, and juices of fruits cannot cause a dough to leaven. Fruit juices here refers to natural juices. And point number three was taught in a braisa, Yachol yotze adam yedei chobasa b'tevel shel niskan. One might have thought that a person can fulfill his chiyuv of eating matzah with tevel that has not been fixed, which the Gemara explains to mean fully tithed, and Rashi explains that ma'aser ani has not been taken. From where do we know that this is not so? The Torah states, Losocha olav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it. We derive from here that grain whose restriction comes exclusively on account of the prohibition of eating chametz can create matzah, which excludes grain of tevel that's excluded not on account of the prohibition of chametz, but mishum bal tochel tevel, the prohibition of do not eat tevel. The Gemara asks, why is there no prohibition of chametz as well when eating tevel? Rav Sheshes answered that this braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds, ein iser chal a iser. A prohibition cannot take effect upon a pre-existing prohibition, meaning that it was already forbidden because of tevel before the possibility of it becoming forbidden because of chametz, and therefore it cannot become chametz. So once again, the 3 points are: point number one, the next mission identifies the five species of grain with which one can fulfill its chiyuv timatz on the first night of Pesach: wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. The Gemara notes that this implies that rice and millet, orez v'dochan, are not valid and seeks a source for this rule. Rav Shimon Lakish said, and so too was taught in different Bati Midrashim, that the Pasuk states, Losocha olav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it, referring to the Karban Pesach. Shivas yamin tocha olav matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzos with it. Now from the juxtaposition of the Pesukim we learn, Dvarim habayim yedei chimutz, adam yotze behen yedei chobasa b'matzah. It's only with things that come to leaven when left to rise that a person fulfills the obligation to eat matzah. Yatsu eilu she'in b'ang yedei chimutz el yedei sirchon. Excluded are these types of flowers of orz and dochan which do not come to leaven but come to spoil. Now the Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said that rice is a species of grain and that one is chayav karis for eating it in its leavened form on Pesach. Point number two, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name Reish Lakish, Isa chenilusha b'yayin shem and dvash ein chayavin al chimutz karis. A dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, or honey instead of water, one is not chayav karis for eating it in its leavened form. Rav Papa said the reason one is not chayav karis is learned from the juxtaposition of chametz and matzah in the psukim. Since a person would not fulfill his obligation to eat matzah with it, even if it were baked in its unleavened form, the havelei matzah ashira, because the product would be rich matzah, one is not liable to chorus on account of eating its leavened form either. Rashi explains that the Torah calls matzah lechem oni, a poor man's bread. Therefore, matzah must be made from simple ingredients such as flour and water. Rav Papa's principle was refuted, and Rav Idi Bar Avin explained that Reish Lakish's reason was mishum davli meperos, and meperos ein machmitzin. It's because these liquids are fruit juices, and juices of fruits cannot cause a dough to leaven. Fruit juices here refers to natural juices. And point number three, it was taught in a braisa, Yachol yotze adam yedei. And point number three, it was taught in a braisa, Yachol yotze adam yedei chavaso b'tevel shel niskan. One might have thought that a person can fill his chiyuv of eating matzah with tevel that has not been fixed, which the Gemara explains to mean fully tithed, and Rashi explains that Maaser Ani has not been taken. From where do we know that this is not so? The Torah states, Lo socha alav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it. We derive from here that grain whose restriction comes exclusively on account of the prohibition of eating chametz can create matzah, which excludes grain of tevel that is excluded not on account of the prohibition of chametz, mabishim bal tocha tevel, the prohibition of do not eat tevel. The Gemara asks, why is there no prohibition of chametz as well when eating tevel? Rav Sheshet answered that this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds, ein iser chal al iser. A prohibition cannot take effect upon a pre-existing prohibition, meaning that it was already forbidden because of tevel before the possibility of it becoming forbidden because of chametz, and therefore it cannot become chametz. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard simon is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough, while the kid holding the bucket of partially fixed tevel sang the solo. Once again, in slow motion. The children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey. La, la, la. The children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes, which reminds us that Rabbi Shimon Lakish said that the source that oris and doch and rice and milk cannot be used for matzah comes with the juxtaposition of the psukim, losochalav chametz, you shall not eat chametz with it, referring to the Karban Pesach, and shivas yamin tochalav matzos, for 7 days you shall eat matzos with it. From this juxtaposition, we learn, dvarim abong de chimutz, adam yotz behen yedecho basaba matzah. It is only with things that come to leaven when left to rise that a person fulfills his obligation to eat matzah. Yadzu elu she'im bong de chimutz el yedei sirchon. Excluded are these types of flours, of oris and dochen, rice and millet, which do not come to leaven, but come to spoil. So the children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough. Which reminds us, Rav Yehuda bar Avin explained that Reish Lakish's reason for saying that one is not chayav karis for eating dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, honey instead of water in its leavened form was mishum dahavile meperos ein machmitzin. It's because these liquids are fruit juices, and juices of fruits cannot cause a dough to leaven. Fruit juices here refers to natural juices. So the children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough, while the kid holding the bucket of partially fixed tevel sang the solo. Which reminds us, we learned in a brisa that grain whose restriction comes exclusively on account of the prohibition of eating chametz can create matzah, which excludes grain of tevel that is excluded not on account of the prohibition of chametz, but because of the prohibition of do not eat tevel. When the Gemara asked, why is there no prohibition of chametz as well when eating tevel? Rav Sheshet answered that this brisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who holds, ein iser chal al iser. A prohibition cannot take effect upon a pre-existing prohibition, meaning that it was already forbidden because of tevel before the possibility of it becoming forbidden because of chametz, and therefore it cannot become chametz. So once again, the children's choir singing the catchy We Can't Be Matzah song were dressed up in their rice and milk costumes and pouring wine, oil, and honey in some dough, while the kid holding the bucket of partially fixed tevel sang the solo. All right, now it's time to go to our four blot back Chazorah. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The judge's courtroom. Judge. That must be one Daf Lamed Aleph. The law. The judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors use their security deposits retroactively. Which reminds us, the Gemara introduced the Malchokas regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Balchov l'mafrehu gove, if the borrower defaults on the debt, the Balchov collects the property retroactively. Whereas Rava said, he collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Baal Chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claimed their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas, which reminds us of the rule taught by Rabbi Yitzhak, who said that we derive that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him from what's stated in the pasuk regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as security for a loan at night. And for you, it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender does not acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's right that a creditor acquires the security. This is the basis of Malchus, between the Tanakhim and Mer, whether a Jew acquires the security of a Nachri as well. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. Which reminds us that ruin fell on chametz when Rishim Gamliel holds that if it's buried 3 tefachim deep so that a dog can't search after it and find it, then it's considered removed from the owner's possession and he's not over on Bal Yireh. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in his lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in his lab. Mad scientist in his lab? That must be wearing Duff Lamed Base. The mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for Truma he ate according to value and not volume, which reminds the Gemara, asks what the halacha is in general when one consumes Truma b'shogeg, where one repays, lefi midah mishalom or lefi dami mishalom. Does one pay according to the volume of what he ate, or does he repay according to the price? And the Gemara clarifies that the question is only when the value of the produce increased, do we say he pays according to the measure, even though the value went up, or perhaps if he ate a zoo's worth of Truma, that's all that he has to pay, regardless of its volume. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for Truma he ate according to the value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, which reminds us that the Braisa that stated, Achol grogros v'shilom tamarim tavol l'bracha, if one ate b'shogeg dried figs of Truma and repaid the kohen with dates, may a bracha come upon him because he acted righteously, is not a proof that he pays according to volume. Abai said that in fact he's repaying according to value, and the reason he should receive a bracha is because he ate something that buyers don't run after and yet repaid with something that buyers do run after. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for Truma he ate according to value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, and experimenting to see if he could make a kazais worth less than a sheva pruta. Which reminds us that it's a machlokes tanakama and Rabbi Shaul whether the minimum amount of truma that one must eat to require paying back the karen and the chomish is a kazais because it says achila in the pasuk, or a sheva pruta because he says venasin and he gave, and an asina isn't less than a sheva pruta. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. A peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be on Duff Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, which reminds us that three reasons were given why Me'ilah, which is Misa B'dei Shemaim, is more severe than Isseri Koris. It is more severe than Isseri Koris not because of the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemaim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than a kazayis of Hekdesh, or it even applies Be'ein Meskavin when a person does not have Kavana to use that particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with the wool shearing of a carbon. And the third reason is he's chayv even if he does it in a misasik manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of hektish. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from chametz on Pesach had no kedusha, which reminds us, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already chametz, I'll agree that it has no kedusha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that stays titan lo, you shall give it to him, meaning to the kohen, v'lo l'uro, but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it's fit for the kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it can't acquire the kedusha of truma. Rav Huna Breid, Rav Yeshua learns from the fact that truma is referred to as reishis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to a Yisrael. Where the produce remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the kedusha of truma. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from chametz on Pesach had no kedusha, spent his time alone in the ship trying to figure out how to get tahor juice out of tamei grapes. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in the case of grapes that became tamei, one presses less than a kabeah of them at a time, and their wine is valid for a libation offering, since food less than a kabeah cannot generate tumah. This indicates Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it, like a liquid that fills a container. Rabbi Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is tameh, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape. And when the grape becomes tameh, so does the juice. Daf Lamed Daled. So the simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. The detective who climbed the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Daled. The detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tameh truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, which reminds us that the Daf deals primarily with Rabbi Bar Masna's question on trumos, where it says in the Mishnah, Shesilei trumos shenitmu ushasalan, trumi plants became trame and then were replanted, tahorim melatame ba'asurin melechol. They are tahor with regard to being matame other things, but they're prohibited to eat. He asks that if they're tahor with regard to being matame other things, why are they prohibited for a kohen to eat? Abaya bar Avin and Chananya bar Avin's answer that it was forbidding the truma to non-Kohanim, since it was decreed to prevent non-Kohanim from depriving Kohanim of their truma by converting it into chun through replanting, was challenged by Rabbi bar Masna, who said that it was taught already in a different Mishnah. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tamei truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Kohen, who was supposed to be guarding his truma, which reminds that the second answer given was that the Mishnah actually meant it was prohibited for the Kohanim to eat, since they became invalid through Hesach Hadas, inattention. The Pasuk states regarding Truma Mishmeres Truma Sai, which means that the Kohanim have been given the responsibility to safeguard Truma and Kachim as well from becoming Tame. And this requires one not to allow his attention to lapse from this guarding. Since these plants became Tame, it can be assumed that the Kohen stopped guarding them against further exposure to Tuma, and therefore they became rendered invalid. Therefore, even though the Tuma is removed through the replanting, they remain invalid to eat. We have a Malchokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Hesach Hadas is a Psul Tuma, a Psul caused by the possibility of Tuma, or a Psul HaGuf, a Psul of the Truma itself. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted Tamei Truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his Truma, was distracted watching the Tamei Mehal Chag being placed in the mikveh. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yirmi rejected the above answer and explained that water for the Chag that became Tamei only becomes Tahor if Hishikun V'Archakach Hikdishan, when first brought into contact with the mikveh and only afterwards was Makdishan. The water being brought into contact with the water is a form of planting which removes its Tumah status. Yet, the Rabbanim were stringent and said that it is not effective for water of Kachim. So here too, regarding plants of Truma, we should say that Ein Zri LaTruma, planting the ground is not effective in removing the Tumah of Truma, since Rabbanim imposed a greater stringency on Truma. All right, so this concludes the shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.